Stephen E. Newman is an MD and the president of the Detroit Institute of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. He's also president of the Michigan State Medical Society. Dr. Newman, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
I saw an interesting email that was released from the Attorney General, and he was talking about medical marijuana and his policies and why he's made some of the choices he's made in dealing with this. And one I thought was pretty interesting, and I quote, he said, "The Board of Medicine and the Board of Osteopathic Medicine, who in cooperation with the Michigan State Medical Society, have put together guidelines on what is considered a bona fide physician-patient relationship under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act." And basically, he's talking about medical marijuana. And I just wanted to talk with someone, and we're glad to have you, to know exactly what those guidelines are.
Well, the guidelines really relate back to the Michigan Marijuana Initiative referendum. It did indicate that medical and osteopathic physicians have the option to certify alleviation of chronic nausea and wasting, cachexia, as it's called in medicine, that is a chronic basic state of starvation in terminally ill patients, if you will, the so-called grandma with cancer and terminal pain. Now, when physicians have this option, they're not subject to prosecution for giving certification of the beneficial when there has been a beneficial physician-patient relationship. And this has been defined quite specifically as, and this is the only drug, by the way, for which this has been required, is that there's a typical medical history taken, a physical examination, a review of any records, as well as a review of the laboratory tests or other imaging studies, MRIs, CAT scans, X-rays, and the like, and a review with the patient as to the diagnosis, as well as what, if any, medications might be used, with the advantages and disadvantages of each. In other words, making sure that the patient has the option of determining which, if any, medication they might wish to use, based upon the potential risks in benefits, and then to record and monitor after the treatment is given, because frequently what's happened as a result of this act has been simply somebody in the back of a store, as sometimes the Attorney General has referenced, where there has been a physician that just signs these certificates without any review whatsoever. Yeah, we also need to notify the primary care physician when a patient has been started on a new medication, in this case, marijuana. So this is what constitutes a beneficial or bona fide physician-patient relationship, and it is. It's for the benefit both of the physician and the patient. It helps determine what's going on, as one would expect in any kind of medical, qualified, quality medical care.
Are the same guidelines used when prescribing Vicodin, codeine, or other drugs like that?
They're not required by law, but these same guidelines are used actually, as far as any physician is concerned, in the quality and ethical medical practice.
Well, I wondered that. I'm not here to say that marijuana is any safer than any other drug, but from what I know of Vicodin, if not taken in the right fashion, it can be as dangerous as anything. So I guess I'm surprised that these guidelines aren't regulated or aren't the rule of law when prescribing any kind of medication like this.
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up because, as you know, Vicodin is now, and hydrocodone, the generic form, has become one of the most abused medications in the United States, along with OxyContin or oxycodone. And there have been more deaths related to this than there has been even motor vehicle crashes in the last couple of years. So the federal government is stepping in and setting up guidelines for this also. But the I think you are correct. This has not been an issue brought up with any other medication, and the reason for that is that it wasn't required with any other medication other than with this Michigan Marijuana Initiative, and it was purposely left vague, and the intent was to have legislation passed that might better define these. What constitutes a beneficial physician-patient relationship.
So why aren't these guidelines in place? It would seem that it would protect the consumer and the patient. Is this something that just hasn't been legislated, or has it been lobbied against just from your perspective?
Well, I don't know that I can answer that. I really don't have that type of information available. What I would say is that it's nothing different really than what we would all expect. I would expect it of any physician that I see who relates to me what they might recommend for medication, what are the risks, what are the benefits. Obviously, costs are an issue too. You know, what is covered, what isn't covered by one's insurance policies or pharmacy benefits. So that these issues relative to a beneficial physician-patient relationship really just relate back to the fact that we need to have high-quality ethical medicine, and that's all that it relates to. It also, by the way, does help define what the Board of Medicine might be able to do, because one of our major concerns in the state medical society has been that these clinics storefronts, really, that sign these certificates do so at a high cost to the patient, and they do so at a high cost to the patient without any review of what is the benefit to the patient. And we want the Board of Medicine to be able to step in and, if necessary, help regulate those physicians that are trying to do this type of practice. It's not the kind of thing we would like to see at the Michigan State Medical Society.
And then finally, Dr. Newman, I find it curious that I've been doing this show for almost 2 years, and I can't find a physician to come on the radio program and publicly say that he prescribes medical marijuana. I recently had the owner of several pharmacies, hometown-type pharmacies, come on the program, and he said that his businesses do not distribute via the medical marijuana via prescriptions, and he really didn't want to get into it why that was. It seems like there's this kind of tinty, dirty kind of feel to dealing with this, and so you're left with the thought or with the idea, not that it's true, that you have all these seedy businesses that are growing and distributing medical marijuana.
That's true. It's become a major industry here in the state of Michigan, as it has in some 15 other states, most recently Arizona, New Jersey, Washington, and as you're well aware, even in Lansing, going from the capital to East Lansing.
Would you prescribe medical marijuana?
I would, particularly if it's a well-known patient to me that has indicated even before this passage that they had a disease process, well, in which I would have made a diagnosis of one of those affected disease processes. In other words, there are only certain diagnoses for which it would be approved. And then that individual had indicated that they had been using that in the past. They had used it at present. So that if that were the case, then it would be appropriate to recommend the need for marijuana, at least the certification, not the need for, because physicians don't prescribe marijuana. All they do is indicate whether the patient has a legal condition for which the initiative has accepted marijuana to be used as an appropriate medication, and that the patient's symptoms also would indicate that. Being a neurologist doing this, several of the diseases are neurological diseases, agitation for Alzheimer's, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, certain other types of diseases.
All right.
Where there's a chronic pain or muscle spasms, and typically terminal diseases.
All right, Dr. Newman, we've been talking with Stephen E. Newman, who's the president of the Detroit Institute of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. He's also president of the Michigan State Medical Society. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.